Please take your seats. Good afternoon. I would like immediately to draw your attention to Luke and chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and we'll read the passage from verse 1 through to verse 10. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Luke and chapter 19. The Bible records that he, that is Jesus Christ, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he couldn't because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And may I ask that we bow our heads and seek light from him, that he may show us what is contained in this passage. Let us pray. Our Father, who is indeed worthy and qualified to handle things spiritual, none among us, O God. We do this all because of your grace and mercy that you extend towards us. And us gathered here today, we would seek, O God, that you would make your presence manifest to us, and also manifest yourself in your word. Asking, O God, that together you may cause, that we may behold wondrous things from your word. And that each one of us, O God, will know your presence in a very real way. And so we pray, attend to me, O God, and also attend to your people. And cause your name to be honored. And cause your word, O God, to have full effect upon all of us. We ask this, O God, that your name may be honored and glorified, both now and ever and always. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Luke, in its theme, you can never run away to see that it gives a thorough account of God's activity in terms of his saving work through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. And one of the things that Luke does is to emphasize that Christian traditions that they were accustomed to, they were very, very real. But also, even non-Christian customs and the things that they weaved for themselves as a people were so entrenched in them and so much a part of them that they were not seeing these things as being a scar on their lives, so to speak. And we shall see one of those as we go through this passage that we have. And what we do see is this event, this account. Jesus was passing through Jericho. And as he was passing through Jericho, we see that the main character in this passage actually is not Zacchaeus. It's actually Jesus Christ and what he did for Zacchaeus. We need to say something about Jericho because it helps us to understand what was happening here. Jericho, as some historians have said, that in that time it was located in the oasis of a highway between Jerusalem and Jericho and also Samaria in the Judean desert. And it was a center of trade. And therefore, on your way to Jerusalem or to Samaria, if you have to pass to make your way from Jerusalem to Samaria, you will, of necessity at that time, go through Jericho. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing. He was passing through this wealthy, this very important town, and therefore it was a town that attracted all sorts of people. It was a time that attracted traders. It was a town that attracted rich people. It was a town that attracted poor people. It was a town that attracted the young and the old. And that's why it was evident that as he was passing through, there was a crowd that formed when Jesus was passing through and as he entered Jericho. And the account that we have is that he wasn't going to stay in Jericho. He was going to pass through Jericho. He wasn't going to stay there. And in Jericho, there was a man named Zacchaeus. And what I want to do this morning is to consider with you the first five verses. And in the first five verses, we see Jesus coming to encounter, or rather to intervene in Zacchaeus' life. And what we do see is that despite the fact that there were crowds upon number, yet there was one man who Jesus Christ took interest in. It was the man, Zacchaeus. And from this, I want us to see Jesus' intervening grace. And those of us who are Christians, we do speak of Jesus Christ's intervening grace upon us. And this man, Zacchaeus, had his life changed completely because of Jesus Christ. He was of a certain character before he met Jesus. By the time we come to the end, we see a different Zacchaeus. But I just want us to do two things this morning. Is to see Zacchaeus' state before meeting Jesus, and that actually is the state of sin. And then we shall see the intervention of Jesus. And then in the evening, we will look at the true evidence of true conversion and its effect upon an individual. And these are actually immediate, as we shall see. But now, let us see the state of sin as exemplified by this man, Zacchaeus, who came to meet Jesus. And at the end, we actually see that actually it was Jesus who came to meet Zacchaeus. Now, he was Zacchaeus, although his name actually attracts differently, because his name, the name Zacchaeus, for those who know Hebrew names, means the righteous one. The righteous one. But here is the man who was called the righteous one. The Bible says in verse 2, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. And we should not lose sight of the fact that the Bible says he was a man. But he was a chief tax collector. and was very rich. He was a chief tax collector. Now, in those days, the countries here were, and the nations around this place were under the rule of the Romans. And the Romans employed tax collectors, and Zacchaeus was one of them. Now, this issue of taxes was very foundational to their life and living as citizens. They needed to do it, and they were required to do it at all times. And hence, the tax collectors came to be known in many ways. They came to be known. But you see, well, what you read in Scripture generally about tax collectors is that they were always never wanted by people around. They were not people who attracted positive attention. And that's why we read, for instance, in the passage here, that when they saw it in verse 7, that Jesus Christ had gone to be with Zacchaeus, they said he had gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner and a grumbler. And this wasn't the first time. In Luke chapter 5, verse 30, again the Pharisees and their scribe had grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" In Luke chapter 5, verse 30. And as far as they were concerned, tax collectors, you group them together with sinners. And generally, the Pharisees would disdain, would look down. In as far as true religion was concerned, they would look down upon tax collectors. And it was surprising to them that Jesus Christ and his disciples would go and sit with tax collectors and sinners. And we know also that the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 18, when he talks about the process of excommunication, and when he says when a person is excommunicated in Matthew 18, he says, treat them as though you would a pagan or a tax collector. And the Lord was drawing lessons for Christians that this is what you ought to do, and that's how strong your sentiments must be. But I want to show you the reason why this was so. And the first one is that tax collectors were people who would collect taxes. Now, generally, when somebody comes to ask for a share of the money that you have had earned, there is always some apprehension. But even when it is properly laid out as a law, tax collectors are generally not regarded well. But these, in this time, were no ordinary tax collectors. These were collectors who would collect anything and any amount. If they were living in our day here, I think we would hate them more than they were hated in the Bible. Because for them, employed by the government, and they were hated by people because they would come, you give them what is lawful, but also they would come and demand even extra beyond what they would collect to pass on to the Roman government. But, and you see, when you just think about this, you immediately say, no, that is sinful. Why would you collect something which is not yours and you just keep it for yourself? And that was the nature of these tax collectors. They collected much more than they would give to the government. And they were individuals. They were not as institutionalized to the extent that we have ZRIA. And those of you who run businesses, I know somehow or other the mention of Zedera even now makes you shift a little in your chair, and you're going to check your tax records this afternoon and to see that you are compliant. But these were not Zedera. They were more than Zedera. And so you see in the second place that there were a people who were hated. And they were regarded generally as traitors who did not think about the well-being of their fellows. They never thought about anyone else but themselves. And therefore, it was common knowledge in the third place that they were cheats. They were daylight robbers. There were people who would steal and so on, and always want to do what we call in Rosie kuminurusa. You know, kuminurusa is to take the cream and more than the cream to get even what is at the bottom and leave what is in between if it's possible. That is what they were. They were minurusaling to people all the time. And these people, they were comfortable. They were comfortable to do that. To them, it was okay. But also, it became okay generally for society as well. It became okay. And the only thing they could do and say was that these were sinners and these were bad people. That's the only thing society could say. But friends, Zacchaeus was no ordinary tax collector. Zacchaeus, the Bible says in verse 2 that he was a chief tax collector. Now, you've heard the words that I've used in describing tax collectors. They were cheats. They were doylight robbers. And so Zacchaeus was a chief robber, the worst of the lot. And if you like, if you were to describe him, you would say he was the scum of the earth. Hey, he was hated, man. And friends, Zacchaeus was a sinner, and therefore a chief sinner. Zacchaeus was a chief of sinners. This was the state of Zacchaeus. And therefore, in terms of closeness to God, he was far away from the point of salvation because he was indeed a wasted man and a wasted person. Oh, friends, when we describe Zacchaeus in this way, are we not describing ourselves in our relationship to God? Is there anyone here who could claim that in his very being he is close to God? Or even before his salvation, he was close to God? And I dare even challenge Christians here today. Would you come and stand in front and say, "Me, I am close to God. And no sin ever comes anywhere near me." And what am I saying? Don't be quick to actually judge Zacchaeus and say, yes, he was indeed a chief of sinners. Friends, in looking at Zacchaeus, it's describing the state of man before God. We are all sinners, and we are all born, bred, and everything raised up in sin. That's why you notice, friends, take any child and you notice the effects of sin upon a child very quickly. A child will lie. And will lie, and you are a Christian parent. Where did that child learn to lie from? Let me tell you, from your womb. The women will say, "Hey, you shut up." Yeah, from your womb. That is where we get our sin from. We are made in that very state. And a child in a mother's womb, yes, being conceived in sin. Do you see how serious sin is? And do you see why Zacchaeus became a chief tax collector? Do you see why Zacchaeus became a chief tax collector?
Do you see why? Yes, you see why. Because he was born in sin, in his mother's womb. He comes out a little sinner. He grows up, the Bible said, in stature still small. Still a small sinner. And he stayed that as a sinner, or until later, as we shall see. Friends, our description is a description of sin. But look, Zacchaeus was rich. Zacchaeus was rich. Now, do you know that just the chapter before that in Luke 18, there was a rich ruler. There was a rich ruler who came to Jesus. In Luke 18 and verse 18, he came and asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus Christ says, "You know the commandments." And he narrates and reads them for him. And then the rich ruler answers, "All these I've kept from my youth." And when Jesus heard this, in verse 22, he said to him, "One thing you still lack, sell all you have and distribute to the poor. And you have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me." The rich man heard this. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, he had, actually the narration that he walked away. Because he was extremely rich, Jesus says, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Zacchaeus was rich. Zacchaeus was rich. And Jesus Christ would say this, "For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person." Then let us remove rich and put Zacchaeus, because he was rich. "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for Zacchaeus to enter the kingdom of God." He was rich. And we are quick to say, "Oh, now there's a difference. We're not like Zacchaeus, not rich." He was rich. And one of the reasons why he was rich was Zacchaeus was a supervisor of other rich people. The tax collectors, they must have generally been rich. Tax collectors must have been generally rich because they were collecting far more than they were supposed to. And Zacchaeus, the Bible actually records that he was rich. And you notice that in this account of this rich ruler with the Lord Jesus Christ, what made him sad is that he looked at what his possessions were and he just couldn't stomach that he could let go of his possessions. The problem with rich people is that they get allured, they get trapped by the things that they have. And these things cause them to think life is defined by the things in this world. And therefore, when you touch their riches, you have touched their hearts. And this rich ruler here, when he was immediately told, "You lack one thing still, go sell." In other words, what you lack is caused by those things that you are holding on to. The things that are your possession here. The things that are of this world here. And the things that indeed cause you to have no thought about God. And the things that cause you to be warped in your thinking about that which will cause you to go to heaven if you had your own way. And this man thought about doing this and that and so on. And that's why he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." And if Zacchaeus was like this, Zacchaeus must have thought he could buy life.
2 days ago, I had these two people talk in my office, and they were talking about buying life in Dubai. Have you heard of this before? And I wondered, how do you buy life in Dubai? So I figured, okay, it's about people go to Dubai, buy things, come and sell, and therefore earn a living. And so life is about the business that you do. Life is about what you can be able to amass here on earth. And life is about what you're going to do to keep yourself healthy and the like and so on. I pause again. Do you see that that is the description of man again? Do you see that? We get allured by these things in this world. Whether rich or poor, the things of this world begin to matter the most. The most important thing in my life is my education. The most important thing in my life is my marriage. The most important thing in my life is my children. And the most important thing in my life is my job. Don't touch my job. The most important thing in my life is my business. The most important thing in my life is that I'm able to wake up in the morning because I know how to sleep well. And all the while, it's either what I have or what I'm able to accumulate for myself. And when I fail, it is a serious problem. Very, very serious. I get depressed because I'm poor. And I get depressed because I'm not able to put food on the table. And I don't know where else to go. And I begin to raise a fist against God and say God is unfair. How can God be fair to a sinner? How? Zacchaeus was a rich man, allured by things of this world, in much the same way as all of us get allured by things in this world and cause ourselves to be very trapped and can't even weave ourselves out. And when we have nothing, life becomes very difficult. No hope for the future. And no hope for even life after death. Friends, Zacchaeus was rich. But friends, Zacchaeus was also small of stature. In verse 3. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he couldn't because he was of small stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. This must have been a very interesting picture. Very, very interesting picture. To see a man, whether he's got a small stature or he's big like me, climbing up a tree. You will say, he has lost it. He's abnormal. That's why Zacchaeus has been collecting more than is necessary. That's why he's been like this. Zacchaeus is abnormal. But I would like to hurry on. But say immediately this, that you see, what this shows is that when you come to realize that you need to see Jesus, there will be nothing that will stand in your way. Your very sin will not stand in your way. Sin will not stand in your way. You will come just as you are. And the very things that were holding you back, even those will not stand in your way. And your very makeup will also not stand in your way. You will not say, what will people think? That me, who has always been like this, should now be seen with Jesus? That was what Zacchaeus was saying. And he started saying this from the moment
He weaved his way from the crowd. You know, I'm told sycamore trees had easy branches but big stems, so he could climb on easily. He wanted to have the right view of Jesus Christ. And now I pray that as you have come this morning, you want to have the right view of Jesus Christ. And may God bless your heart if that's the attitude with which you have come. You know, many people go through life in terms of religion, they do not want to have the truth about the gospel. And therefore, they would rather be where they are. Leave me alone. My church is so and so. I was born in this church. I will die in this church. Oh, friend, but see what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He says later on in verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And you are lost. Be as Zacchaeus. Seek to see who this Jesus is. In fact, it is said that the seeking, and the word that is translated as seeking, that is ascribed to Zacchaeus, when he says he was seeking to see who Jesus was, is much stronger than the seeking that is in verse 10. The root is the same, but this one in verse 10 is much stronger. It actually implies that he actually manages successfully and never will fail to seek and to save the lost. So he will not fail to seek and save you. Whatever your state is, wherever you have been, whatever you have done, and whoever you are, he will not fail to save you. And the seeking that is for us in verse 3 is the seeking of the small efforts that we make. And those efforts can fail, and they will fail. And rather, therefore, depend on the seeking of Jesus Christ. And that's why I want us to see, in the second place, Jesus Christ's intervention in verse 5. Now, verse 1, first of all, as we see Jesus' intervention, he entered Jericho, and he was passing through. And what was Zacchaeus' thought? Jesus Christ is passing through. And you know, when someone is passing through, there will come a time when he will not pass through. He will be gone. He will pass through. And Jesus Christ was passing through Jericho, not stopping Jericho, going on beyond. And friends, I say to you, therefore, listen hand, because in your life, Jesus Christ at this moment is passing through. He might not stop with you. And woe to you if he doesn't stop with you. But friends, look at verse 5. Verse 5. Oh, these are glorious words. And when Jesus came to the place, this Jesus coming to the place changed everything about Zacchaeus. When Jesus came to the place. In fact, it reminds me of the rendering in Mark chapter 10 of the account in Luke and chapter 18 of Jesus Christ and the rich ruler. In Mark, it includes something that Luke doesn't include. And it says that when this man looked sad because he couldn't sell anything, Jesus, looking at him, Mark chapter 10, verse 21, it says, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Loved him. And I almost see that this is what Jesus came to do here. And when Jesus came to that place, see what followed. See what followed. He looked up. And I want to add, he loved him. And notice, he called him by name. He called Zacchaeus by name. Now, don't forget what is happening here. There is a crowd, young and old, men and women, boys and girls. There is a crowd. And you know, probably this crowd must have been pressing around Jesus. And probably they didn't see Zacchaeus climbing up. Zacchaeus was so moved about his desire to meet Jesus that he climbed up. And Jesus, who was passing through, and one passing through, his intent is to go through. But here is Jesus, who was passing through, came to the place, the Bible says. Jesus came to the place, not Jericho, and not anywhere else, but the place where Zacchaeus was, who had climbed up the sycamore tree, when Jesus came to that place. Now, think for a moment who this Jesus was, who had come to that place and stopped. Just think for a moment, who is this? And I just want to read for you who this Jesus was, who came to this place. It is this from Colossians chapter 1. It says this about this man who came to that place. There are several passages I would have led you to, but listen to this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the one who stopped, who came to the place where Zacchaeus was. Him in whom all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. God of very God stopped here. He stopped and looked and loved Zacchaeus. And God, the Son, saw Zacchaeus and he calls him by name. You see, when Jesus Christ has his attention upon you, it is a personal attention. And whether you are in the crowd, and whether you are in a place where you are insignificant, and even if the world sees the things that you are trying to do in coming to grace as being foolish and strange, friends, Jesus does take note. And let me tell you, while I speak like this generally to the congregation, there is Jesus Christ right now speaking to you by name and calling you Zacchaeus, the righteous one. That is what his name meant, like I said. Zacchaeus, the righteous one. And now notice his call. He says to him, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house. I must stay at your house. Jesus Christ staying at the house of one who was a tax collector with what we have described them as a scum of the earth, but not just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. Friends, if God the Son can call a sinner of sinners, think, man, he will not call you. You know when you say not becomes positive, eh? So he will not call you. In other words, he will call you. If he can call Zacchaeus, he can call you. And if he knew Zacchaeus' name, he knows your name. For all the fullness of Godhood, so to speak, was pleased to dwell in this man, Jesus Christ. And you see what I meant when I said, actually, the main thrust of this passage is not necessarily the actions of Zacchaeus, but the actions of God the Son upon Zacchaeus. He can call you. Why would he pass you by when he can go to the place and the abode, the home, the comfort zone of a sinner of sinners? He can come to you, O man, O woman, O boy, O girl. He can come, and he's come now. Friends, Jesus was passing through, but he came and stopped. And when he stopped, friends, he didn't just stop. He didn't just stop. You know, he stopped for a purpose. It wasn't an abstract stopping, just stopping. Oh, Zacchaeus, you're in the tree. Such a big man like you, an old man in the tree. Look, people laugh at you. Come down. I must go to your home. That "come down, I must go to your home" was purposeful. Was purposeful. The intention of Jesus all the while was what he says in verse 9. When he says, "Today, salvation has come to this house." And I want you to note that the intervention was all of Jesus. It wasn't much that this man was seeking with his small efforts in verse 3. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. But friends, Jesus Christ's intervention was that he knew that Zacchaeus was in the tree. He knew. He knew the efforts that Zacchaeus had made. He knew. But he knew that these efforts that Zacchaeus made to just climb up, to have a bird's eye view, and see Jesus Christ coming, and he's in this tree here, Jesus Christ is coming, and just see and go past, Jesus Christ saw that that wasn't going to be enough for Zacchaeus. He needed to touch at the core of Zacchaeus' life. He needed to touch at the core of Zacchaeus' life. And that he did. And you notice Zacchaeus' conversion, which we'll see much later in more detail in the afternoon, that Zacchaeus did hurry down immediately. He came down. And that is the point at which Zacchaeus changed. Zacchaeus went up as a sinner, a tax collector, into that tree. Friends, Zacchaeus was met by God. And Zacchaeus was called. Zacchaeus, come. Today, I must stay at your house. Now, friends, these words that Jesus Christ is using here are not just words that are just spoken carelessly. Jesus Christ says, I must stay at your house today. I must stay at your house today. And that's why these people who are watching, they saw it and they grumbled. How can he be eating with one who is a sinner? Jesus Christ said, I must stay at your house today. I must stay at your house today. He was basically saying that I'm coming into your life. And he was actually saying, I have come into your life. And this staying at your house is because, Zacchaeus, you went up, you have come down. And you are down, and you are submitting yourself to me. And you know, Jesus Christ wasn't asking for permission to stay at Zacchaeus' house. He said, I must. No other way, I must. And that is a description of conversion and salvation. And that's how Jesus Christ intervenes in our lives, friends. He comes, changes us around, and he is the true light which gives light. In fact, let's read that passage. The true light that gives light, it's in John and chapter 1. John, excuse me. John, chapter 1. Jesus Christ is the true light that gives light. Maybe I'll read from verse 1, because in here we are seeing Jesus Christ coming and passing through. Here it is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him wasn't anything made that was made. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he comes as a witness, as he says in verse 7. A witness to what? Listen to verse 9. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, born of God. Zacchaeus became born of God. Why? He is the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ, which enlightens everyone. And that's why this crowd grumbled. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. And in a sense, we are all his own because we have been created in the image of God. Would you dare to be like this? He comes and he calls this one and that one, and you notice it and you grumble. Oh, friend, he is the true light which enlightens everyone who was coming into this world. He was coming into this world to do just that, friends. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And thus, he says of Zacchaeus, he says, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. And to the Jews, they understood, when someone says he's the son of Abraham, he's saying he is the son of God. He gave Zacchaeus the right to become the son of God. Friend, I must close. But we see that the crowds were always preventing Zacchaeus. The crowds grumbled to themselves. And friends, the crowds called Zacchaeus a sinner. And the crowds will try to prevent you. The people around you will dissuade you from everything that is to be true of God. But friends, if I were you, I would rather listen to God. I'd rather listen to Jesus Christ, who is calling you by name this very moment. Friends, you can come in here today in one way. You can go away from here today in a different way. Friends, the Zacchaeus of today are those who have been met by Jesus. Those whom Jesus has called by name. And those who drop everything and follow hard after Jesus Christ. Friends, this is Jesus' intervention in Zacchaeus' life, in our lives. And this can be Jesus' intervention in your life today. And I don't want anybody to think that this is for this one and that one.
May Jesus Christ intervene in your life today. May Jesus Christ indeed intervene with his whole being, his fullness of Godhead dwelling in him. He is seeking you and he's calling you by name. Come to him and do not make delay, and he will bless you. Can you come back?